Well, I'm Dave Hansen. I'm a retired American Baptist pastor. And yesterday I was reminded about the reason we started coming to Wyoming Baptist Church in the first place, because I'm on the State of Ohio Ordination Committee for candidates from all over the state who are wanting to be ordained. And in January, we were wondering where to go to church, and I was at the ordination committee where Jason showed his paper, and I'd read his paper beforehand, was quite impressed with it, and then was just very impressed with the way he handled himself in the committee. And so I said, well, Debbie, we need to go to church there. So that's why we're here. And we've been very pleased to be a part of this church. Well, the Lord called Samuel, even as a little boy. That was about 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus. But about 2,000 years before that, before the birth of Jesus, God called Abraham and Sarah to move from where they were a long way away from the promised land, to go to the promised land. And God asked them to do it, and they did it. And God spoke with Adam and Eve. And he spoke with Noah, told him to build a boat. And he spoke with Moses, told that he was through a burning bush, God spoke to Moses. And then Moses would meet with God. And it says that Moses had a tent, a special tent. It was called the Tent of Meeting. It says, now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away from the main camp, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of their tent. And then it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And the Lord spoke to Samuel throughout his career, and he spoke to Moses throughout his career. He spoke to King David, told David what to do, and David would do it. And we see this in the Bible. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we have Mary. An angel comes to Mary and tells her that she's going to have a baby, even though she's not married. And God spoke to Isaiah the prophet and told him what to say, and Jeremiah the prophet and told him what to say, and told Jonah the prophet, and Jonah didn't want to say it, so he ran away, as some of you know, and ended up in the belly of a great big fish and was vomited up, and then decided to say what God told him to say. He spoke to members in the New Testament. He spoke to John through visions. Well, how about us? How does God communicate with us? Well, through the Bible. We heard a Bible story this morning given to the children, which was, you know, relevant to all of us, and as they all are. And all the children's messages are relevant to us old people. And we read in the Bible, and God teaches us through the Word of God. God speaks to us through His Word. God can speak to us through good advice. I've had some good advice given to me over the years. And fortunately, I took it, and it worked out really well. And God was speaking through that good advice. I look back and say, well, God really led through that piece of advice. And I'm deeply grateful for it. And certainly God was behind that. God speaks to us in our conscience about good and bad, doing this, not doing that. It's very important to have a very kind of deep conscience, isn't it? It's one of the scariest things in the world when a person doesn't have a conscience. And when our conscience can speak to us and tell us when something's right or when something's wrong, then the Spirit of God is working through that conscience. And God is speaking to us through knowing right and wrong and making decisions that are good. You know, another way that God can speak to us is through compassion, feelings of compassion for people. If we see someone in need and we can help them, maybe God is creating that compassion in us to move us to go help that person. I've had situations where I said yes to God and situations where I said no. The other night, this last Friday night, there was a tremendous downpour in the Cincinnati area. And we were eating dinner in our front room on the sofa and talking, and our neighbor across the way, I could see him, had a big pole and he was putting it up and trying to buoy something up in the pouring rain. And I felt compassion for him. And I thought I should go help him. But guess what? I didn't. And that was saying no to God. It's not a good thing to do. I'll have to live with that for a long time. I should have done it. Just got a little wet. It was even a warm rain for that matter. But I didn't. But God was speaking to me. And I said no. Have you ever said no to God? Have you ever said no to your conscience when God was moving for you to help someone? I pastored a church in Price Hill. It was called Price Hill Baptist Church, and then it became known as Heritage Community Church for 7 years. I retired from there. That was my final church. But one day I was driving into Price Hill, and Price Hill, if you know, it's a high-crime community, and a lot of people there in a lot of need. And there was a young woman sitting by the side of the road, and it was pouring rain. This time it wasn't a warm rain because it was in February, and it was cold. And she was just sitting on the sidewalk in the pouring rain. And I drove by, and I felt compassion for her. So I said, well, I've just got to see if I can help somehow. So I went back, and she was gone. And I drove up and down Warsaw Avenue, if you know where that is. And I thought, well, maybe she went into the Kroger, and I went into the Kroger, and she wasn't there. And I pursued that, and I found her. She was sitting outside of the McDonald's there on Warsaw and whatever the street it is that I lived on for so many years. Glenway, thank you. It's good to have a wife with a better memory than you, whose memory is slowing down more slowly than yours is. Anyway, so I went and I said, well, can I buy you a meal? And so she said, sure. So I went in and bought a meal and brought it out to her. She was sitting on the sidewalk outside of the McDonald's. The rain had stopped. And that was wonderful. All I had to do was chase her down a little bit and find out where she was. I had a lot better feeling after that than after not helping my neighbor. Can you relate to this? Can you relate to this? God talks to us through these things. Don't say God doesn't talk to you. He moves you. He moves you how you can give, how you can share, how you can care for people. I know that when I first got here, Jason was holding some classes on Saturday morning about being a good neighbor, a neighborly church, and those were excellent programs. I found them to be very helpful for myself. And you might find that you can do something compassionate and loving for a neighbor, and that could be God's will for your life, to cook someone a cake or something, or to go out and compliment them on their flowers. These are not little things. They're not little things, and God can use acts of compassion even to bring people to church, even to draw them in. And a church needs to be a neighborhood church, and it needs to be filled with compassion for its neighborhood and for its total neighborhood here in Wyoming. Sometimes we get intuitive impressions, I call them. I'll tell you how God called me into the ministry. I was at Willamette University at the time. I was a freshman at Willamette University, is in Salem, Oregon, and I had moved up there to go to school from Southern California, about 1,000 miles up there, and Debbie and I were high school sweethearts, so I was mailing her a letter, and I was wondering what I could do in life, and I thought, well, I could be a history teacher. I thought that would be a good thing because I liked history. And then I was going to a church where I was really moved by the pastor and I really saw what he did. And I thought I would really, if I could do that, I'd really like to do that. But as I was walking to mail this letter to Debbie, I had this strong impression. It was, well, I could be a history teacher, but being a pastor, that would be impossible. So I just decided to do the impossible thing. And 40 years worth, I still think it's pretty impossible, to be honest with you. But God has been and was and is very good to me and to Debbie. You know, there's a very, very famous, very, very famous woman passed away not that many years ago named Mother Teresa, who in the first, I'll just say the roughly the first half of her life, had strong, strong impressions from God, strong leadings from God in her life to start the ministry she started, and she had what you'd just call a very sweet and lush relationship with God. And then God just cut it off. No more lush impressions from God, no more leadings that she could discern. Not that she wasn't following through on her and making good decisions, but her, what you would call her relationship with God, from the perspective of feeling some kind of response back from God, literally just absolutely came to an end. And it lasted for, I think, about 40 years. And it was a very, very difficult thing for her. But you know, she did have something from the Lord, and that is when she was with the people that she served, the poorest of the poor, and she started this ministry to the poorest of the poor in parts of India, and they would come into her center there and would literally come there to die. And she never lost her compassion for the people. And so God was working in her life through that compassion. And so even though the Lord withdrew that kind of voice that she sensed from God, that voice voice, she did get the compassion, the feelings of compassion for her people that she was working with. And that's what she lived on, was her sense of compassion. I was golfing one day in Phoenix, Arizona. My brother and I had met there to go golfing, and we golfed with these two guys, and one of the guys had actually met Mother Teresa. We just paired up in golfing. And he said that being with her is just like being with lightning. She's just so alive and so full of life and so full of just this powerful thing from God. And I don't know if he was a man of faith at all. He didn't express that he was. He may or may not have been. But he said it was just like being struck by lightning. And yet that's a time when Mother Teresa felt absolutely nothing coming from God, but people were feeling an enormous amount of things coming from her, weren't they? And what really matters? So maybe you feel like you hear from God, maybe you feel like you don't, maybe you feel like I'd like to, but I don't, or these kind of things. If you're loving people and you're listening to God and you're helping people, then they're hearing from God through you. And you can bring messages to God. You could bring messages to people through your love and your compassion for others. And that's a very, very important thing. We don't have a tent of meeting where Moses would talk to God like a friend. But we have ways of helping people, ways of listening to the Lord in our lives, that he can make a difference. I wonder about guidance for your life this morning. You know, Jesus is going to talk to you this morning. He's going to. It's not going to be very long from now, because we're going to have the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is just a little cracker, folks. And it's a little cup of juice. That's all it is, except prayed over and blessed, it is the broken body and shed blood of Christ. So you will be handling the broken body and shed blood of Christ. And as you receive that bit of cracker and you receive that bit of bread, God is going to be talking to you. And one of the things he's going to say is he's going to say, I love you. Because Jesus Christ gave his life, his broken body, and his shed blood to pay for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that little cracker and that little cup of juice is the price that was paid for your sin and my sin. If he could have done it another way, he would have. So Jesus is going to be talking to you this morning in that little bit of bread and that little bit of cup. And what will you say to him? How will you feel holding that in your hand and taking it? I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to receive it, because I need it, you need it, we all need it. It's the forgiveness of sins, it's the purchase, it's the price that God paid for our sins. And it's right there for you. And it's God speaking to you in a little piece of bread and a little cup. God speaking to us doesn't have to be fancy. Be very, very simple and very beautiful. So take that this morning as a message from the Lord directly to you. Let us pray. Lord, you communicate with us in so many ways. We see it in the Bible, just numerous ways. And we see opportunities we've had and do have to help people where you're speaking through our conscience. And we see times that someone has given us advice and we've taken it and we look back and we say, that advice was crucial. That was from the Lord. And so, Lord, you do communicate with us and you too care about us. And so, Father, as we take the Lord's Supper this morning, I pray, God, that you would impress upon us the price that was paid for our eternal life in the death of Jesus Christ for our sins. And that little cracker and that little cup is the broken body and shed blood of Christ and is an absolute living communication from you to us. And allow us, Lord, to take it that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.